come to my office to get advice for her dating life. Take Ashley, for instance. She said, I'm looking for someone to complete me. When I hear that, I usually respond with something like this. Well, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is, no guy is ever going to complete you. Everyone's going to let you down at some point, and no other person was ever intended to give you meaning, purpose, and identity. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ offers all those things, and you can and will be complete in Christ. When the shock wears off, I then try to ask them a series of important questions. Who are you as a person right now, regardless of who you are with or without somebody else? What is God doing in your life at this moment? What gifts has God given you? And how is He shaping and molding you for the future? Answer that, and then you'll be well on your way. You see, a good relationship is more than two half people coming together. A good relationship happens when two holy, happy, healthy, and complete people form a union to bring their strengths into service for one another. Anything else is codependence. The same thing is true for a congregation. God is up to something wonderful at Pleasant Valley. And there are lots of fine potential ministers out there. But I want to ask you some questions. Who are you as a congregation, apart from any one man who stands here from week to week? What gifts has God called or placed within you? And where is God leading you as a church? Answer that, and you'll be well on your way to offering a vibrant, healthy yes to the call of God, as well as offering a healthy, vibrant, fully functioning place for any potential minister. Just like in dating, it's also helpful to remember that not every eligible bachelor is a good fit. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, those two are both lovely people, but I just can't see them together? Well, there's a reason. Relationships are at their best when people are more than simply available, but a good match. So try going beyond, are they really good at what they do? And ask, would they be a really good fit for what God is already doing here? I know that on a first date, we all try to put our best foot forward. We pick out our best clothes. We finally get around to using those Crest white strips that have been sitting in our bathroom drawer for months. We get a fresh haircut, but not too fresh a haircut. We practice our smile and we promise ourselves we are not going to bring up our credit score or list all four baby names we've already picked out for our future children. We want to project the best me that I can be. But you and I know that if any long-term relationship is going to ensue, at some point, we're going to have to see the real deal on both sides. And the more honest you can be on the front end, the better it will be for both in the long run. More important than how a preacher appears on social media or in their get-to-know-me lessons is their track record. Think of the churches where they've ministered before. Are they healthy and well? Did they leave on good terms? Can you say the fruit of their labor matches the fruit of the Spirit? This will tell you a lot about a potential minister. And perhaps the most important thing he's going to bring with him is his attitude. So important. To stick with the dating metaphor, you know that there are two sides to this. Pleasant Valley must also consider how to present yourself. A pleasant attitude, a spiritual demeanor, and honesty are all very important traits that any potential minister is looking for. I suspect that there are problems in this church. Now, I say that for only one reason. There are people in this church. And a church must be honest about your strengths and weaknesses and offer not a false impression, but a real commitment to working together in good times and bad, and a willingness to grow together in the service of the Lord. A church will find just the right minister when the church becomes the very things it wishes to see in their new minister. Do you want a person of integrity and industry? Do you want somebody full of the Spirit with a mind to work and a heart of gold? Be that. Build it, and he will come. The last thing I've learned from dating is that at some point you have to trust the process. No two couples date precisely the same way. I've known married couples who were introduced on a blind date. Others met on the internet after a website said that they'd be a good match. Some of you found your significant other through a friend of a friend of a friend kind of thing. And some of you were just lucky. Sarah got John's caramel macchiato, John got Sarah's non-fat latte, and the rest is history. In this audience today, there are people who married your high school sweetheart and never dated another, and there are some whose past flames could fill a phone book. Some of you were courageous and asked the other out. Others waited to be asked out, and there are success stories in every category. Scripture tells of several ministry transitions, and really no two are alike. When the apostles needed to replace Judas, they narrowed it down to two choices, and then they cast lots. I don't think that's how the search committee is going to do it, but hey, it's biblical. Timothy was chosen when the gift of God was bestowed on him through the confirmation of the laying on of the apostles' hands. Joshua was simply called up and told, "You're the man." The seven deacons in Acts 6 were chosen by the congregation as they looked for men full of the Spirit. The shepherds here have chosen one out of many options. The committee in prayer is going to seek out the right fit for the congregation, and they're going to narrow it down to three and then send their recommendations to the shepherds. A lot of wisdom in that. Now, may I encourage you to trust the process. Be a team player. The most important thing you can do in this whole process is to pray. Pray for the committee. Pray for your shepherds and pray for the future minister. I want to leave you with this one thought that's absolutely true. I guarantee it. Let me leave you with this. The more you pray for the future minister, the better he will be.
Thank you, Nathan, for those words of wisdom and encouragement. And to everyone else, good morning again. If you don't know me, I'm Roger Rowe. I chair the Pulpit Minister Search Committee. The focus groups, which are the subject of today's presentation, are one part of the process of selecting a new pulpit minister that Nathan described. The process is a good one, a proven one. However, it requires a tremendous investment of time by the search committee. But this is an investment we're willing to make because this is kingdom work. God is at work here at Pleasant Valley, as Nathan said, and in this process. We have heard prayers that were offered for us. We have already seen prayers answered. And we have seen God at work in the responses that you've given us during the focus groups. The focus groups have been more informative and important in the search for a pulpit minister than we could have ever predicted on the front end. Our committee came to this search knowing that we were not tasked with choosing a minister who fit our personal preferences. So we needed your help to complete the profile of the personal qualities and the style that you desired in the next pulpit minister. Through the focus groups, we have been able to identify those qualities that will be the right fit for Pleasant Valley. And those are the qualities that we're seeking in the next pulpit minister. And the extent of your participation in the focus groups has validated the information that we received. As you can see on the screens, more than 450 of you completed written surveys. The number of you participating in the focus groups exceeded our average weekly Bible class attendance during that same period of time. So you came out and you spoke to us, and we listened to you. The focus groups have also been a very positive experience for the search committee. The members of this congregation have much more in common than in differences. We have unity in our fundamental beliefs of who we want to be and what we want in our next pulpit minister. We want a minister to love God, love his work, and love this congregation. We heard you say that you want to be challenged to study more and understand better our fundamental beliefs. We heard you say that you want to be challenged to grow spiritually. And we heard the elders say that they did not want doctrinal changes at Pleasant Valley as a result of a change in the pulpit minister. The statement of what we believe on the church's website has represented for a decade or more, and will continue to represent, this church's guiding principles and the beliefs that we will seek in the next pulpit minister. By the way, if you're not an internet user, there should be copies of that statement available in the information booth in the foyer. We also heard you say that you are ready to extend grace to whomever is hired. You understand that one man cannot satisfy every preference of every member of this large congregation. So today we're going to provide you an overview of what we learned from you about the qualities of the man that we will be seeking. And we're going to present what we learned about ourselves as a church body. You see, the focus groups were more about completing the picture of who we're looking for than answering any one question. So our presentation today will be more about revealing that picture to you and less about sharing statistics. If you have not gotten a chance to meet them yet, the search committee, the men on the search committee are here. The women are in this, Midwestern aisle here on the third and fourth rows. They are Linda Smith, Paige Taylor, Amy Burton, Courtney Hershider, Tiffany Greenway, and Kristen Brown. And the men, myself, David Tipton, Craig Vick, Jamie Fugit, Chris Keim, and Guy Way. The men are going to present to you what we've learned from you during the focus groups. So Craig, can you get us started by telling us a little bit about what stood out to you the most during the focus groups?
Sure thing. Good morning, everyone. My name is Craig Vick, and even though I've attended this church for over 12 years now, I look around and there's a lot of faces out here that I don't know. And if I'm being honest, the fact that I don't know a lot of you guys has brought on a little bit of anxiety for me over the past few months during this search committee process. First of all, when the elders asked me to serve, and secondly, and maybe even more so, when we decided as a group that we were going to speak with each of you and hear what you have to say about what we need in a minister. I imagine there were probably some of you that had the same thoughts when the members of the search committee were announced. You see, because I don't have a personal relationship with everyone here, it was easy for me on Sunday mornings to come into the auditorium and look around and think, you know what, this person probably doesn't want the same thing for this church that I do. Or at the beginning of a focus group and look around and think, I may not have the same desires and wants for this congregation. The focus group process has been key, just like Roger said, and we're excited as a group to be up here this morning to share a little bit about what we heard from you all. But aside from the value that it provided us as a search committee and our process for finding a new minister, it was very valuable for me as well. You see, each week that I walked away from a focus group, I realized that we have so much more in common for what we want in this church than what I originally thought. Each week I walked away, I was so encouraged by the things that I heard you all say. And luckily, the things that we want for this church are pretty simple. It's not really complicated. We're all looking to grow closer to Jesus Christ and have a better relationship with him. And we also want to show Christ to the people around us so that they can have a relationship with him as well. And as we go through the next few months of trying to identify a minister, we're going to try to find someone that can help us do both of those things.
This congregation strongly desires a Bible-focused pulpit minister. We repeatedly heard you all say this, that the sermon should be deeply focused on Scripture, that the next pulpit minister's life, relationships, personality should be models of Scripture, and that he should encourage and inspire all of us to be more in the Word. We heard this from men. We heard it from women. We heard it from young people. We heard it from old people. We heard it from married people. We heard it from single people. We heard it from Bible scholars. We heard it from our new Christians. You name a group of people in this church, we heard Bible-centered. One of the more interesting sub-conversations on this point, and I think one that we heard often, was a strong desire for our next pulpit minister to help us better examine and confront the difficult issues in our world today with Scripture as our foundation. Our teens especially, and I think importantly, it was an impressive conversation. They focused on this a lot, and we talked about it at length with them. But overall, I took tremendous comfort in this congregation's united desire to be anchored in the Bible, and I think you all should too. Chris?
So one of the themes that just continued to ring through each focus group that we had each week, one of the things that we heard you say over and over again was that you desired relationships. We all want relationships. We want them with this new preaching minister, and that seemed to show itself in the initial question that we asked you in our panel discussion each week about what kind of minister we need and what role he will have. We want to make a connection with him in a way where he is approachable and he's honest and open with us. We're looking for a man who's a team player, who works with the elders and with the staff and with the rest of us in the congregation as he champions the vision of our church. We want a man who wants to know each of the members in the congregation and its diversity and the needs, so that he can address those needs and meet that diversity with all of us. We're looking for relationships with each other. And in one of the other questions that we asked, where we said we want to be more, that really kind of showed through as well. We want to be approachable with each other and welcoming with each other. We want to be able to walk around this building and know people. And we want to be known by people. And that second part is really the most important part. Because when somebody knows you, they've invested in you. Some of y'all are old enough to recall a popular show back in the 80s by the name of Cheers. And one of the lines in the theme song for that show was, "You want to be where everybody knows your name." I think we all want that. We want to be where people know us and they care for us. You said that your desire for relationships leads to the number one reason that people attend Pleasant Valley: for fellowship, for community, and for relationship with others. And quite honestly, this shouldn't be a surprise to us. It's how God made us. Even in the account of the creation, God said, "It's not good for man to be alone." God is relational. So doesn't it make sense that he made us to be the same in his image? We heard that we want a preaching minister to help build relationships and with all dynamics of people: young people, middle-aged, elderly, married, single, teenagers, college age, young professionals, people of different races and ethnicities. Again, to better know and understand each other's needs. Because there's value in knowing people that are different than you. You get to understand a different perspective. There's wisdom in different experiences that people have had. But when we're honest with each other, we can blend amongst ourselves even before this man shows up to be with us. You know, there were some extremely encouraging comments that were made even through the focus groups by some of the individuals who are already serving. And one of the themes that kind of came through with that was that when you get involved with others, number one, you'll find your purpose. But number two, you'll have more connections and deeper relationships with those that you're around. Guy?
Here are some of the things to be heard in the focus groups. We heard the majority of the members who participated in the focus groups are of the same accord. We know that a minister cannot do everything for us, but we are looking for someone who will promote divisions of the elders and inspire, encourage, teach, and challenge us. Someone who can unite us all in love from the way he delivers a message, especially a hard one, to the way he relates to the members of all demographics, to his involvement in the community and in Pleasant Valley's activities. We are looking for a minister who will get to know us not only by name, but on a personal basis, and get to know the community also. We heard we can't hire Superman, because no one person can fulfill the vision of this ministry alone. This is why every member should have a part to do. We heard you say we can't hire Jesus because he is perfect with no sins and no mistakes. It is not realistic to hire someone to meet the qualities of each member of this congregation. However, we can hire someone to lead this congregation with motivation, teach God's word, challenge us to study and to be better disciples of Jesus by sharing what we learn with others and letting others observe our spiritual ways of life. We heard this congregation does a good job of being gracious with each other and visitors, but there's room for improvement, as we all know. By being more approachable, better listeners, taking criticism better, and whether they are positive or negative, etc. We heard we also need to pray for our new minister and his family regularly. Tell and show them the love we have for them and for him and his family. Invite them into our homes. Take them for a meal, to a movie, etc. Now I want to make this one last statement. On behalf of this committee, I would like to thank you all for being so gracious to us in and out of the focus groups. And we ask that you continue to be so. This process would not be possible if it wasn't for all of you. Thank you.
Just a couple more things that wanted to make sure that we emphasize to you guys that we heard from you during the focus group process was, you know, Chris mentioned that we have this strong desire to be more relational and have more relationships. We also heard from you that we want to be more unified as a congregation. We were certainly unified in our desire to be more unified. But I want to encourage you to know that after listening to so many of you, I think we're more unified than sometimes we give ourselves credit for. Now, we have our core desires, like I mentioned before, but in a congregation this size, there's hundreds of different ways that we feel like we need to execute on those core desires. We certainly heard that from you as well. And I think sometimes we get caught up focusing on the ways that we're different rather than remembering that at our core, we want the same things. And I think it's important for us to look at each other and realize that the things that motivate us and the reasons why we're doing the things that we do is because we're trying to accomplish the same goals. We're trying to grow in our knowledge. We're trying to grow in our relationship with Christ and with each other. And we're trying to do a better job of showing Christ to the people around us. And if we can do that, I think we'll go a long way to feeling the unity that we all desire to have. You know, there's so many great things that are going on here at Pleasant Valley, but that doesn't mean that we haven't heard a desire from you all for us to do more than what we're already doing. There's a desire for more service to others, for us to be more evangelical in our day-to-day lives with the people that we know and the people that we're around, but also with the people that are in our community and around our church. There's a desire for us to develop a deeper understanding of Scripture. And we know that the man that we bring in isn't going to do all these things for us. But it's our goal as a church, as a search committee, to find a man that will teach us to do these things, will inspire us to be the things that we want to be, and encourage us in our day-to-day walk to grow closer to Christ and to share with the people around us.
In summary, I'd like to just repeat or build on what Guy said. On behalf of the elders, I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank you for your participation in this process and for your patience as we go through this. Hiring a preaching minister is a very important decision, and we do need to take the time to make sure we do hire the right person. The value of this process goes far beyond selecting our next preaching minister. Besides learning what you want in that preaching minister, we learned a lot about each other. We learned that you wanted to be biblically grounded. We learned that you value love. You value community, diversity, and that you want to be challenged. You desire that in a preaching minister because that describes each of you. Members from every demographic category shared their desire to be more Christ-like as a church body. Now is the time for us to act based on these various ideas and desires that you have shared with us. What we want in a preaching minister is what we need to be right now. We want him to love, then we need to love. We want him to reach out, then we need to reach out to others. We want him to know the congregation, then we need to know the congregation. We desire for him to be passionately love Jesus and hunger for the truth, then we need to do that as well. We don't need to wait on our next minister. We do ask that you to continue to please pray for us in this process and pray for our next minister.
It's time to conclude, and I've been asked by our search committee and those planning our service to have our closing prayer in this way. I'd like to ask everyone to stand. And while we're standing, to have the elders among us to move to the outside aisles, the periphery or the perimeter of the church, and encircle our fellowship while we pray. As they do that, I want to tell you how I've been asked to do this prayer. We'll have a period of silent prayer and reflection for you to pray about this process. And after that, I'm going to actually read a prayer I've been asked to read. The search committee wanted you to share in the same prayer that they've been praying, the same prayers they've been praying. And so what I'm going to read is a compilation of prayers that they have had over the last weeks and months about this process. So let's have a period of silent prayer, and then I'll close with our closing prayer. Let's pray. Almighty Father, you are everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Your understanding is unsearchable. You are our God. We exalt you. We will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed from old, faithful and sure. What man shows you counsel? Whom did you consult, and who made you understand? No one, Lord, no one. We give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted all things your name, above all things your name and your word. On the day we call, you answer us, and this is what we ask. For our church family, we ask that by your power, our hearts are softened and molded so we can love each other the way you love us and the way we love ourselves. Please give us your power and the desire to live the way we hope our new minister will live. We give you praise for your work so far in the search process. We pray for the rest of the process. Would you please, God, send your Spirit to guide us in all truth and wisdom. Please bless the search committee and the elders with strength and wisdom to finish the good works you prepared. We pray for the man that will join our church family. When you call him, we pray that he is willing to say yes to you. We pray for his transition from one job to another. May we be as much of a servant to him as he will be to us. We pray for your name to be proclaimed, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your love and your faithfulness, may your kingdom come and your will be done here, just as it is in heaven. Amen.